This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. It's good to be back, and I've missed these classes very much, and I've missed you as well, although I can't see you. And we hope, inshallah, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must give us the strength to carry on with these classes, particularly in the times in which we live. The series of lectures I'm going to give starting this evening has been prompted by many of my students and non-students who's asked me to speak on this topic, please. It's a topic that I've spoken on before, but these series of lectures, inshallah, will cover everything and will be probably the last that I'll be speaking on this particular subject, unless it comes up again. This problem has now recurred again in our community, as so many problems recur in our community. And it seems as if nobody responds to these issues that we have in the community. There's so many issues that have come up. I mean, I've been rather busy in the last, over the COVID period. Alhamdulillah, I didn't have COVID, alhamdulillah, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must protect you from COVID as well. I left South Africa in 2010. I sold my house and I went overseas to go do my PhD at the time. And I had to come back because of a problem I had, one of my children had with their health. And since then, I've been busy with my PhD, and it took me 10 years to do the research and to do the translation. And I only finished in 2018. And then 2019, 2020, I revised it and I had to publish a book, and I had done all the editing and all on my own, so I wasn't not busy. I was not on a holiday. I was actually extremely busy on the book. And as you know, I've now published the book, and I hope, inshallah, to also give a number of lectures on the book. So what are we talking about today? We're talking about a subject that was raised in a mosque in Weinberg, and a clip was sent around about the whole question of dua. Now, you may say, but you know, Sheikh, you spoke about it so much. But it's so fundamental to our tawheed that somebody has to respond. You know, we have to respond. If people make catastrophic statements for those who listen and accept it in their akhirah, and especially the senior ulama, people of age like myself, I regard me now. There was one time when I was very young and I'm older, and I'm not amongst the, you know, the people who are considered to be amongst the senior. I think when you're over 70, you just fall into that category without even asking to be in that category. And what is this question? This question is all about the question of dua. And what about the question of dua? Why is it so important? Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said it's so important. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah." Dua is the essence of ibadah. And for who do we make ibadah? Our ibadah is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Nabi also said, "Ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah." The dua in itself is ibadah. Dua is ibadah. That is the highest ibadah that we can perform. Salah is dua. Is dua. What does it mean when what does it mean when I say it's dua? It means that everything that we do in the salah is a communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the lower speaks to the upper, when the makhluqat speaks to the Lord of the universe, that is called dua. So this is sacred. It's sacred in all religions, and more so in the religion of Islam, because we espouse the principle of tawheed, that we have none other to call on except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself speaks so many verses in the Quran about dua. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, Allah speaks after the verse of Eid. Allah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي, when my slave calls upon me, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, must we whisper when we make dua? Must we raise our voices when we make dua? So Allah revealed this verse. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when my servants ask you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, tell them I'm near to them. And we know in another verse, Allah says, I'm nearer to you than your jugular vein, the vein of dance. Down here from your heart up to your brain. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ الدَّعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, I answer their call, I answer their prayers, I answer their du'as when they call upon me. I think in between. There's no buts and ifs. No, okay, this one also and that one also can answer. And if you do it like this, it can also be answered. And if you do it like that, it also... No, Allah says, you call me. Allah would have said, oh, Muslimin, call upon your prophet. He's nearer to me. He will convey the message to me and I will listen to him better than I listen to you. No. Allah said, you call me. So this then is a vital issue. And this issue is being castigated. It's just people sit in their masjid, and they say just lightly, oh, if you want to call through this one, whichever wali you want to call upon, whichever good man you think is a good man, you choose who he is and you ask Allah via him. And he sits there in his mihrab and talking to the community, tells him this. Oh, there are two ways. In the beginning, he says, obviously, like, there are two ways of making dua. You can do it via somebody, you can do it straight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without blinking an eyelid. SubhanAllah. And his colleagues were all ulama, and one big alim sitting behind him. There's nothing to say about this. So today, I'm not going to, you know, people say, you know, he just makes things up. You know, Faiq just makes things up. But all he talks about is bid'ah, and all that he talks about is shirk. That's my job. That was the job of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the job of all the anbiya before him. What was their job? To make you believe in the oneness of Allah. To remove shirk from society. That is the Prophet's battle. All the battles he fought was not against anything else but shirk. You agree with me? If you don't, then go and read your history. And so these were the two things that we have taken on as an amana, and I do it with a smile, and I'm not angry with anybody. All I want us, inshallah, and the last lecture will be, why are we in this dilemma? Why is the ulama in this dilemma? When you talk about shirk and bid'ah, they do this. Nothing. It's nothing. Why? I ask myself the question, why? So the last lecture will be on why we are in this dilemma. Catastrophic dilemma. We are seen more in cathedrals and churches than we are seen in the masajid. Our ulama. Our ulama. La ilaha illallah. Allah forgive us and Allah protect us. So today, one of my teachers, which I have never met, but whose books I have read, I'm going to use his book. Because people say, you know, he pulls everything out of his, oh, a lot of false hadith and this and that. You know, he quotes and... But they can never come forward. None of them has ever come on YouTube and say, this is our response to him. Nobody. From the mufti down to the street sweeper, nobody's responded. Why not? That's my question. Why didn't they respond? So today, inshallah, I'm going to use a chapter from this book. It's called Aqidatul Muslim. And it is written by a famous modern scholar. His name is Muhammad Al-Ghazali. He was born in 2017 and he died in 1996. So he's part of our age. Great scholar. I'm not going to say much about him, just to say that he wrote 94 books, of which I have most of the books. That he has. Oh, whenever I went overseas to Makkah, especially in Medina, in Egypt and other countries, even in Malaysia and Pakistan, I used to buy his books. And I've spoken to you a lot from his books, but I never told you who he was. Today, because I'm just going to use his book, and I'm just going to speak from his book. He was a great scholar. You can Google him. And on Wikipedia, there's a whole outline about it. What was his name? Dr. Muhammad Al-Ghazali. Al-Ghazali, of course, you know the name Al-Ghazali, the famous Al-Ghazali. He's got the same surname. So what does he say on page 69 of this book? And I hope the scholars who listen to this and are told about this have this book in their library, because it's a very good book, very important book. Lovely book to read. So Imam Ghazali says, I received a letter one day. And this letter was from a student. So it was a young man who wrote to him. And what did the letter say? The first point in the letter was, the young man tells him in the letter, Jumhurun nas usat. I'm not going to quote all the Arabic because it can take time. Wallahu innama yataqabbalu min al-muttaqin. He says, this young man writes and he says, that all of us, every person, is a sinner. We commit sin. كل آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين توابون. Prophet says, every single Muslim, non-Muslim, whatever it may be, we're all sinners. We all commit sin. But the best sinner is you make tawbah. If you make tawbah, you're the best sinner. Allah loves you if you make tawbah. May Allah accept all our tawbah, inshallah. So this young man then completes the sentence and he says, certainly, Allah only accepts the dua of the muttaqeen. That's the first question. It's a question, he says. Well, if we're all sinners, then the only dua that Allah SWT will accept will be dua of the muttaqeen. His second question is, he says, فَلَوْ ذَهَبَ الْإِنسَانِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. If a person who is full of sin puts his hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will not answer his. This is what the young man writes in his letter. He says, I say that if a man goes to Allah full of sin, Allah will not answer his or grant any of his requests which he places in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, he says, this young man says, therefore, فَعَلَى الْإِنسَانَ أَنْ يَبْحَثْ. That a man must look for a wisata. He must look for somebody in between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is more pious than him. Kawaliin salihin mathlan. For example, like a wali. A pious wali. Pious friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or just a pious person. That you should go to him rather. Because certainly if Allah says he only accepts the muttaqeen and you are such a big sinner, best of you to ask a good man to make dua for you. Number two, that's part of the first question. And this young man writes and he says, and I believe that this is not shirk. I believe that this is not shirk. Why not? The young man writes, he says, لِأَنَّ النِّيَّةِ هِي الْحُكُمُ عَلَى الْأَعْمَالِ. He says, because it is your intention which gives the verdict on your action. In other words, your action will be judged by your what? By your intention. And he says, the people who make tawassul, the people who use an intermediary between themselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not intend to make shirk. In fact, they're not happy with shirk. A Muslim has no intention of committing shirk, he says. So a Muslim, he says, always has the intention of not committing shirk. All right? That's the second point he makes. So what is the first point? First point is, I as a sinner cannot ask Allah. And to go via somebody else is not shirk. Why did he say that? He says, because Muslims never intend to do shirk. And number three, he says, the companions, the sahaba, and the fuqaha, the jurists, and the a'imma, the imams, he refers to the four imams, jami'an, all of these people, the companions of the Prophet, this young man writes, and the fuqaha, the jurists, and the great scholars of Islam, all of them used to use an intermediary between them and Allah, such as the Anbiya and the Awliya. And he gives an example. He says, وَقَدْ تَوَسَّلَ عُمَرْ بِالْعَبَّ عُمَرْ بِالْعَبَّاسِ عَمْ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He says, Umar ibn al-Khattab used Ibn Abbas to intercede or to make dua on behalf of the community so that it may rain. So, yeah, the Sahaba themselves didn't ask Allah directly, they asked Abbas. So this is what the young man writes. And number four, Sheikh Ghazali writes, he says, the young man asks about the ayah of the Quran of the two orphan boys. Remember? Where they built a wall. Nabi Musa and Khidr built a wall. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. And when Nabi Musa came to know why he built up the wall, why Khidr built up the wall, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse. What is the verse? وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. The reason was that the father of these two boys was a very pious man. And that is why Khidr built the wall, even though the people of the town didn't want to give him any food or drink. So this young man says, look at this. أَلَيْسَ فِي ذَلِكَ. Doesn't this point to the fact that there is barakah in dead people? Now we come to the crux of the matter. So he's talking about dead people. He says, doesn't this show that Khidr built a wall because of the barakah that came from the pious father? So this means, the young man says, that barakah can come from the dead to the living. And the young man gives another example. He says, Allah says to his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذَا ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when the companions, the Sahaba, did something wrong, they come to you, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you should ask me to forgive them. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهِ. So this young man says, isn't this an intermediary? Isn't this a tawassul? Sahaba came to him, to the Prophet ﷺ, to make dua for them, to ask Allah to forgive them. He says, is this an example of tawassul? He puts a question mark, of course. So that's number one. Those are the four questions. I'll repeat the questions as we go along. And Sheikh Ghazali says, I also received a letter from an Azhari scholar who said in this letter to him that one of the official ulama at the Azhar says that tawassul, to use an intermediary by using the pious dead, pious who are deceased, some call it awliya, some of them call them by other names, Indian names, and so forth and so on. But he says, this man wrote to him and says, this Azhari scholar said, in the tawassul bi ashab al-qubur wajib. That's what he says. He says, this Azhari sheikh says, it is wajib, meaning it's compulsory, to make tawassul, to use the people of the qubur as intermediaries when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an extreme view from an Azhari. I'm surprised. And why did this Azhari, what reason did the Azhari Sheikh give for this? The Azhari Sheikh gave the reason that because the sahib al-qabr, the person who is buried in the qabr, his effect is greater than the effect of the living person. Whatever reason he gives that. I mean, for me, there's no logic in that statement. He says that people who are dead, they have more effect. They have more barakah. than the living. And this Azari Sheikh says further, and there is no harm. There is no harm in using tawassul with anybody, living or dead, doesn't matter who it is. As long as the person using this means of making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who answers. Some of the tricks, people. So, what does he say? He says, no matter what a person does, if he believes, he must look at his action, he must ask him what he believes. If he believes that Allah will answer, I do it via this person, but the one who will answer is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the argument which all of them bring, young, old, ulama, great ulama, salih ulama, pious people, leaders of tariqas, they all use this, what I'm going to tell you now. They say that all the verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to in the Quran that contain shirk, not meant for the Muslims. It was only meant for the mushriks of Makkah, of the mushrikeen. One of the leaders of the tariqah in Cape Town is now, of the Naqshbandi movement, is now passed away. That was his argument also. When I quoted verses from the Quran, then he would tell his leaders, well, he doesn't understand the tafsir of the Quran. He's never studied Islam, but he says, what Faik says, he doesn't understand the Quran. You know, all those verses are only for non-Muslims. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Allah says in the Quran, Allah will never forgive shirk, but Allah will forget any sin you commit besides that. He says that's only for the mushriks. So Allah will forgive the sins of the mushrikun also as long as they don't make shirk. Then he says, Sheikh Muhammad Al-Ghazali, he says, this is how scholars mislead. And I'll tell you why they mislead. We'll get to that. Because there must be a reason. And I've studied the reasons now for my whole life. I've looked at all angles. We'll come to that, inshallah. And he says, these scholars, they take people back to the time of Jahiliyyah. Ta'ab is a muhlaka, which will destroy us. Of course. And Sheikh Ghazali says, and we should always try and use every opportunity. He says, these things are said in every generation by so many people. He says, and it is, we should treat this with disgust because these things are to do with the uluhiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is the ilah. It attacks that directly. If Allah says, come to me, and you say, no, I will go via Faiq, then why are you fooling? What are you talking about? Whose status are you lowering? Faiq status? You become dust. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, we're not happy with you. You're diminishing the status of the master of the universe, the one who created you. The one who taught you, La ilaha illallah. La, no. First Allah says you must deny everything. Everything, La. Starts with La. You must deny ilah. La ilah. Deny God, a God. You must deny God. You must deny everything, single thing that smells, looks, or wants to be like a God. Illa Allah. Except Allah. But you can only get to Allah if you deny everything else. But if you have a little bit of tawassul here through